Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Unscripted Wrestling. Tonight, my hosts are Twitter friend Doug. Tonight, we'll be talking about the week in wrestling, AEW, and all of that. And review the Raw, the WWE draft. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Good. So, doing good.
So, Doug wants to take over first, and then we'll go from there.
Well,
go ahead, Doug.
First, before I go off the rails, let's get some plugs out of the way.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay, so you want to listen to the Dirt Sheet Dudes? I mean, not right now, because even though they're doing a show right now, too, you listen to us first.
Yeah, they actually went on the air right now, too.
Yeah, so love those guys, but don't listen to them right now. Wait till we're done, then you can listen to them. But they're on every Wednesday and Friday, 10 o'clock Eastern time, mixer.com/dirtsheetdudes. Every other Saturday, they do a show called The Hollywood Hangout, where they review movies. That is every other week. So they will not be on tomorrow. They'll be on next Saturday. So, you know, give them a listen. You know, you listen to them live either Wednesday and Friday, or they're available on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify,
Google
Play, Apple, all major podcast platforms. You listen to Wrestling with Reality with John. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I believe, right, Eric?
Yeah, I believe so.
All right.
And join our new Facebook group, too.
All major podcast platforms. We just started a new Facebook page. Eric, give the details.
The Facebook group is Philly Sports Fashion Podcast, but with these two shows, and everybody's welcome. For our listeners, we'll be posting episodes and polls and all that good stuff, and for other podcasts to post their episodes too.
Right. So that's Philly Sports Cave, right?
Philly Sports Fashion and Podcast, and then Philly Sports Cave and Unscripted Wrestling pages.
Okay. All right. Very good. So then, and then of course you listen to Eric's regular Philly Sports Passion podcast whenever he's able to go on. I know this past week, him, Clinton, and I did a show recapping week 6 of the NFL. We're actually probably going to do one coming up this Monday night. Also recapping week 7 in the NFL. But Eric, every week Eric will be on with the Philly Sports Passion podcast with whoever his co-hosts decide to be, depending on who flakes out on him.
We'll probably go on now, at 11 or 11:30, depending on how bad the game is.
Right. So with that being said, are you ready for me to take this over for a little bit?
Go ahead.
Right ahead, man.
Okay. Now, what is about to come out of my mouth, just to warn everybody ahead of time, whatever is about to come out of my mouth is my opinion and my opinion only. All right. This has nothing to do with Eric. This has nothing to do with Clinton. These are not their views. These are mine. So if you're going to come after me, including the son of a bitch who I'm really going to rip into, you don't go after them, you come after me. All right? So it's funny. It's funny, like this week, you know, and all the time, there's always a lot of criticism. A lot of criticism from wrestling fans. Wrestling fans are very critical. And there was actually a tweet, I believe it was either yesterday or it may have even been earlier today, I don't know. May have even been the day before, but MVP tweeted out and said, the people that hate wrestling the most are wrestling fans. And again, you know, certain people kind of ripped into it or whatever, but he's got a point. And the point is that wrestling fans, and I'm not necessarily saying us, you know, because everybody is entitled to their opinion, but some of these guys really take advantage of it. And it pisses me off. Okay? It really pisses me off. The fact that, like, you know, these people, like, they set their standards too high. And there's one person in particular part of this one wrestling group on Facebook, and I'm calling him out because this punk kid who thinks he knows everything about wrestling, he doesn't know shit. All right, he got very critical and said that AEW had a bad show this past week in Philly. Let me ask you guys this. Did you guys enjoy AEW Dynamite this week, or did you not like it?
I liked it.
I mean, I love it. I mean, I haven't seen that episode once. I didn't watch. I
didn't like it. All right. But, Clint, you liked it?
Yeah, I liked it.
Okay, good. All right. Or not. I mean, okay, good. But, all right. So, you guys really had no problem with the show, right?
Right. No, I haven't had any problems with AEW so far.
Okay. Well, this fuck who... I'll admit to this, when, you know, he first kind of came aboard, you know, back when Eric had his own sports website, his own wrestling website called BeneathTheRing.com, Eric brought this guy aboard, aboard to write articles because we needed other writers, except for me. And I said to Eric then, I said, this is a mistake. This is a young punk kid, and this is a mistake. Boy, was I right. Okay. Now, I don't know this kid personally, and thank God, because my fist would probably be imprinted with his face, or my fist would be imprinted in his face. The fact that he doesn't like... that he didn't like something, it's fine. You're allowed to have your opinion. But the fact that he gets upset and all that when people try to defend, and a lot of wrestling fans do this, they get upset when you try to defend what's going on and they call you stupid or they call you, you know, marks or whatever the fuck. All right. I'm a fan. I'm a wrestling fan. Okay. I've been a wrestling fan ever since I was very little. I was born in the year 1986. When I was born, the year I was born, we had, here's the options of wrestling we had on television. Okay. We had WWF. We had NWA, which was the Crockett's. We had WCCW. We had Universal Wrestling Federation. And we had the AWA. Okay. That was a lot of variety.
N52?
See? Huh?
Memphis?
I think you could get those on like a local station or something. Sometimes it would be it would be broadcast, but I think it would be broadcast by accident. It would depend on the local station. Okay. So basically we had a lot of options when I was a kid, just like we have a lot of options now. You don't have to like everything. All right. But you also don't have to criticize somebody or get mad at somebody when they're defending something that they actually liked. Guess what? I understand. And I get that this fucker doesn't think Riho is believable as a women's champion. Yeah, she's 97 pounds. But guess what? She's a great athlete, and she's a heck of a champion. She has really good matches. So shut the fuck up, you stupid.
I have more to say after you're done
your
rant.
Yeah. You shut the fuck up, you stupid fucking punk kid and just sit back and enjoy the show. That is the problem I have, actually. And again, I'm not necessarily talking about us, because we really, I mean, yeah, we do our reviews on the current product, but we like to talk more about the stuff we like. All right. We don't criticize. We don't criticize the product for 2 hours, or we don't criticize the product for the whole show. We just say, oh, well, you know, we weren't necessarily a fan of this, or we weren't a fan of that, or whatever. But we make sure to point out what we do like. Right? Unlike a lot of these other assholes that have podcasts today that, you know, nitpick and bitch and moan and complain about the smallest stupid fucking shit. Well, guess what? All right, wrestling's not perfect. If you don't like it, you don't have to watch it. And for some people that say, well, we have to watch it so we could review it. No, you fucking don't. All right. If you don't like it, don't review it. All right. How about we get some positive reviews for once instead of these negative fucking bastards?
That's why we support our buddies at Dirty Dudes.
Yeah, well, sometimes even they're guilty of it, but they at least try.
Yeah.
They at least try to find the positive. Yes, there's some negative.
I can be guilty
can
of it sometimes,
out,
too.
We can point out some negative. But here's the thing, is that I am so sick of all this fucking negativity that these people have, you know, just because they didn't like something. Well, guess what? If you don't like it, don't fucking watch it. Guess what, Waterman? We don't need to fucking read your fucking Facebook post and the Wrestling Umbrella or whatever. You don't like it? Don't watch it. All right? You're nothing but a negative piece of garbage. All right? I'm so sick of your fucking negativity. And to be honest with you, I'm sick of you, and I've actually been sick of you since the first time you actually came around. All right? And claim to be like, you know, this insider, always posting the scoops and all that. And yet, when people call you out on shit, which I have done before, you run away like a little fucking pussy. Because when people call you out, you get upset because people don't agree with you. Well, guess what, motherfucker? I don't agree with you. Now, you don't like what I'm saying? Come back at me. All right? I'd love to hear a rebuttal from you. I'd actually love to debate with you. Okay? And we can do a friendly debate. I'm not going to threaten you. I've got no reason to want to hurt you because, to be honest with you, I don't feel like driving all the way to Philadelphia. So I'm not threatening you. All I'm telling you is that if you want to have a debate, let's have a debate. But I'm sick of your fucking negativity, and I'm, to be honest with you, if you don't like it, quit watching. It's that simple. All right? It's that simple. For anybody that is so sick, that is sick and says, oh, WWE is never going to get better, or AEW is trash, or whatever the fuck, don't watch it. Nobody's forcing you to watch. Nobody's forcing you to turn on TNT or USA or Fox every week. Right? You're the one that has your hands on the remote. Right? I'm not whispering in your ear, turn it to Fox, turn it to USA, turn it to TNT, put YouTube on. Right? Nobody's forcing you. But if you're going to watch it just so you could be negative about it, you know, keep your comments to yourself. Right? And I know that's hard to say in a day and age where, you know, you can post your thoughts on Facebook and post your thoughts on Twitter. And trust me, I'm very guilty of it.
All right.
For about six months or however long it took before he blocked me, I would go on Twitter and I'd make fun of Baron Corbin. Right. But guess what? It's easy to make fun of a bald guy. Trust me, I happen to be a bald guy, and it's very easy to make fun of me. Okay? So it's very easy to make fun of him. But guess what? He had enough of me, so he blocked me. And See, here's the thing, is that like the way I critique shit, because sometimes I am very critical, but that's because you're back when I grew up, you're supposed to boo a heel and cheer a baby face. That's all I do. If somebody is pissing me off, that's more than likely they're doing their job as a heel. And to me, it's just like, I just want to sit and enjoy it. And if I don't like it, then I don't like it. But I'm also going to find the positives. I don't care about the negatives. I don't give a damn about the negatives. All I care about are the positives. And what I'm saying, and to this person in particular, and maybe even a few other people that are also very critical of this, all right, is that find the positives. Shut the fuck up. Quit your bitching and complaining. And find the positives. And if you don't like what I'm saying, you know how to get a hold of me. And you notice I didn't do it screaming. I didn't do it, you know, in a very loud voice. I did it very calm. Because, you know, I'm not going to get myself worked up over the fact that some guy that's still living in his mother's basement, is just, you know, he's got an opinion. There's nothing wrong with having an opinion. But when you get mad when other people have a different opinion than you, and again, I'm not mad because he's got a different opinion than me. I'd love to debate the guy. But I'm sick of negativity. That's all I'm saying. Okay. That's all I'm saying.
That's fair. I agree with you in that.
Okay.
Too much negativity in the world.
Exactly. And it's not even just about wrestling, but a lot of, this is what it is. I mean, there's a lot of negativity towards wrestling, and I think a lot of it is, you know, unfounded.
Yeah.
All right. Clemeth, do you have a rebuttal?
In a negative society.
No. People have their own views of wrestling, and it's just your own personal views. I mean, I never even heard or read. People have their people that don't like it, especially I think it's going to be harder today when it is with WWE being more PG than anything else. I think that's one thing that's really hurting WWE. It's the PG era. And I think to really help the PG era back in, and I think we'll be going back to the CM Punk once CM Punk made it come in life when he dropped that open bombshell about Mr. Man and his family and about walking back out of the WWE. That's what made wrestling actually more WWE more relevant than it is now, than what it was, because it was a time, I will say, back in like going into 2007 to 2009, going in all the way up to like 2010. It was really, really weak. I mean, it was kind of hard to actually watch it, but I enjoy it. I mean, it's something you want to find. Yeah, episodes are really boring, but yet you still found the good in it, and you're going to have your own the bad.
Right, and that's kind of like what I'm saying is that, like, yes, there was a lot of wrestling. Like, I hated the year 2007 in WWE. And, you know, 2007 brought a lot of negativity because of, you know, certain things that happened or whatever. But guess what? There was another alternative besides WWE. Yes, it wasn't a popular alternative, but, you know, that's when I started watching TNA more.
Everybody watched TNA. I think Kurt Angle was the one that actually got me into TNA. When I found out the whole Kurt Angle versus Samoa Joe got me into TNA.
Right.
You're talking about
whatever.
I'm talking about the negativity towards one certain initial CB.
Yes. Okay. But, like, see, that's why, like, and again, there's so many options nowadays. And I swear, like, you know, basically, no matter what night of the week, you know, wrestling is always on. And that's not necessarily – I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing, because to me it's not. I'm a wrestling fan, all right? And so, you know, Monday nights you have Raw. Tuesday nights, you know, on YouTube you have NWA Power, which is a fantastic show, by the way. Right? It's very well done, and it really gives you that old-school vibe. And then you have AEW Dark, which you can watch. All right.
Don't
then
forget
Wednesdays.
Major League Wrestling.
Impact Wrestling. So, come on,
actually. Yeah, I mean, MLW airs live on Saturdays, but also on Mondays, the episode drops on YouTube. Impact Wrestling is going to move to Tuesdays. So, you know, that's going to be, you know, that's going to be something. Wednesdays, you have you have AEW Dynamite, and you have NXT. You know, Thursdays we get a break.
Good football,
you know, Fridays, Fridays is SmackDown. Saturdays is New Japan and WOW Women of Wrestling. And then the airing of MLW on BN Sports. And Sundays, if there's not a pay-per-view, you get a break, like you said. So there's a lot of wrestling, and some people would be like, oh my God, there's too much. But guess what? There's a lot of alternatives. You don't have to watch all of them. Some people won't.
I know I don't.
Okay.
I just don't have
you don't.
Time to. I'll watch from time to time.
Yeah, you don't have time to watch all this. That's what you have me for. So, like, if you don't have time to watch something, I'll watch it. And then if we have to do a show where we review it, then we review it.
Yeah. I think one of these weeks when you get back, we could review the whole week. When Impact goes on TV, and we can all do that.
Right. So, like, and again, everybody is entitled to their own opinion, and I get that. It's just when it's the same damn opinion and, you know, you can't change your tune, even if something good happens and you don't change your tune and you just decide to be so negative, that's what gets on my nerves. And you know what? If he doesn't like what I'm saying, because I'm sure he's going to hear this, unless you decide not to, you know, unless you decide that you don't want him to hear it. Which, Eric, that's completely up to you.
No, I mean I'm going to put in the group. If he listens, he listens. I don't know if he actually does listen to the show. So, I know he's kind of a co-host, but.
Yeah, well, he's a co-host when he's a co-host, but then he flakes out on you. But the thing is that, like, I would love for him to, you know, come back at me. And let's have a debate, all right? And, you know, I'm not going to, you know, spend the whole time, you know, name calling. I don't even care if he agrees with my opinion or not. I'm not trying to make him agree with everything I'm saying. All I'm saying is that, you know, his views, I think, are just kind of clouded. And I think, and again, I've even said this, I don't like him. I never have liked him. But I would love to debate with him. But the problem is that he doesn't like confrontation. And every time we've had the opportunity for him and I to debate, he pusses out.
Oh, that's right.
So
he
was supposed to
debate on you in THC.
Right. All right. All I'm saying is that put your balls back on and let's have a debate. That's all I want. I'm not, you know. Let's have a friendly debate. You know, there's going to be no physicality, mainly because we're doing this on the phone. But, you know, let's have a debate. And, you know, I will make sure to, you know, tell you that, you know, you're full of shit, which I think you are. But it's just, again, and you know, I don't want to go on too long here because we do have, because I'm sure you guys do have a lot to get to. And I will stay on for a few extra minutes. But, like, the issue is that, again, and it's not just this guy. It's many people. It's another podcaster whose name I'm not going to mention because I don't feel like being slapped with a defamation of character lawsuit. All right? And the last thing we need is negative attention from him. But he's the same way. He does nothing but bitch and moan and complain about WWE. All right? And when a fan actually said to him one time, he's like, if you don't like the product so much, don't watch it. And he told that fan to fuck off. Well, guess what? You Orange Cassidy lookalike. I'm going to tell you the same fucking thing. If you don't like it, you don't have to watch it. Just spend
for
your 2 hours. Spend your hour and a half or 2 hour show podcast or however the fuck long you go reviewing AEW or NWA or whatever. If all you're going to do is be negative about WWE, don't fucking talk about it. Don't watch it. Nobody's putting a gun to your head. You know, just enough of, you know, again, like I said, if you don't like something, that's fine, but you don't have to keep beating the fucking drum, you know, until everybody decides they're going to agree with you. Because trust me, I'm never going to agree with you. I don't agree with people I don't like. Trust me, Eric will tell you.
Yep.
Eric will definitely tell you. Clintus will tell you.
Mm-hmm. Your brother will.
Oh, he'll definitely tell you.
By the way,
well,
shout
yeah,
out to
so,
Daniel, who couldn't be on the show tonight.
Yeah. Daniel's too busy doing community service. Which is just a joke, folks. He's not actually doing community service, but if you met the person he's hanging out with tonight, then you'll know what I mean. anyway, so basically, yeah, that's the end of the soft spoken rant.
Gotcha.
I'll go on my little tangent.
All right, go ahead.
I'm not gonna call out any names, but it's probably the same people in that group.
We're talking about the same guy.
Yeah, and there's others in that group.
I
was debating with today.
Yeah, you guys are talking about. So I'm just listening.
So they were talking about Rio and how she's not a believable champion. And I get it. She's small. She's blah blah blah. But she's been champion for 3 weeks. Give her a chance. I think she's a good champion. I like her. I like her as an underdog. I like her as a champion. And AEW is not supposed to be like WWE, where there has to be a believable champion like, I don't know, Charlotte. It's not always going to be a big girl like Charlotte or a big muscle girl. Why can't Rio be champion? She deserved it. She beat Rose. Not a Rose who is bigger than her. He deserves to be champion. Give her a chance. It's only been 3 weeks, and the AEW's only been on for 3 weeks. I think these people have this WWE mindset where they think that AEW needs to be WWE is supposed to be, the way WWE does things. No, this is why AEW became a company, because they want to be different. And Rio is different. Okay. Enough rant.
Well, and here's the funny thing. And we're actually going to – well, I'll probably end up bringing this up tomorrow during the Hart Foundation show, because the Hart Foundation is a good example of that, especially like the Hart Foundation group, the stable from, you know, 97, which we will kind of get into, because technically it is the Hart Foundation. You had guys on there. You had a guy by the name of Brian Pillman who would not work I don't think, in WWE's culture today. And what I mean is by, like, the loose cannon gimmick that he did, which, you know, WWE, they, you know, modified that, and they PG'd it when they kind of made Brian Pillman, or when they made Dean Ambrose, I'm sorry, a PG Brian Pillman, a PG loose cannon, which, you know, doesn't work because you have, like, there's so much, today there's so much, like, you're so much under the microscope today, like today's product is, because you have people, like, you're trying to, like, do, like, you're trying to do something, but yet you keep getting told, it's almost like, you know, you have, you know, censors just telling, oh, no, you can't do this, or you can't do this. You have no creative freedom, is what I'm trying to say. And I think, like, AEW, I think, has the creative freedom. And Riho is somebody that would not work in WWE's culture. And, you know, some people might not think she works in this culture, but guess what? She was brought in by Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega believes in her. Maybe the rest of us should start believing it. Maybe Kenny Omega, or maybe the rest of us should start believing in her too.
Kenny Omega saw something in her.
Yeah.
And they saw something in her to make her champion.
Right.
No, there's no rule that no 97-pound girl can't be champion. It's because you live in the WWE culture, right? In your mind, it means it's AEW's culture.
Right.
And I think, like, some of these people think it's supposed to be WWE culture. No.
Right, exactly. Now, Eric, how long is this show going tonight?
An hour and a half.
Okay. All right. So we spent, like, a little over a half hour ranting and raving. Why don't you guys get to some actual, like, wrestling news, or, you know, get down to talking some actual wrestling.
Okay. Are you going to hang up, or are you going to stay on for a few minutes?
I'll stay on for a few minutes. I'll stay on for at least another 25.
Okay.
Okay.
So, Cliff, what do you think of the draft? Because I know I have my thoughts, but I want to hear your thoughts.
Watching the draft, I think, as a show, like watching the show, like, live, it didn't really need to be a two-night main event type thing. I think what they should have done is made it like they did any other years. Like, the first time they did the draft, you did your draft picks or the rounds, and then have a special on, like, WWE.com where they had their own show. And
put it on YouTube.
Do the draft that way. Or YouTube. Or you even got the network now. You can put it on a network. I mean,
yeah.
But having a two-night event and then knowing, because we all know Raw was going to get the number one pick. That's one thing that really, like, ticked me off. It's like, why do you need to have a match saying who's going to have a number one pick? We all know Raw is a three-hour show. Raw was going to have more superstars. Why do you need to have a match saying, well, suppose Roman Reigns or Charlotte would have won? Then how would you break down all around? I mean, you had the picks going in for every three picks. Raw got, SmackDown got two each round. How are you going to balance that out? If SmackDown got the first overall pick.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, that's fair. Now, here's the thing, and this is where, like, I'll kind of step in here. I had no problem with a lot with the matches that were on Raw. A couple of them I actually liked. Like, I thought Becky and Charlotte had a really good match. You know,
yeah,
I thought Aleister Black came out and I think Aleister Black came out and did his thing. All right, was very well at it. I like Aleister Black. I like Ricochet. And the fact that Ricochet took on Shelton Benjamin, I thought it was a good match.
I forgot Benjamin was in the WWE.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying that though, like all the matches, like the tag team title match, that was great. I mean, but if you're going to be more original about having a draft, why advertise a match? Then you have two matches for number one picks, knowing the order of the picks is going to be. We all know Raw was going to have the number one pick. That's just a waste of a slot. Something you can put something else better, built into like another storyline. You just wasted like a half hour each show for a match to end on a disqualification or a cheap roll up. Because
right.
We all know who was going to win.
I mean, well, I agree. I agree with you to that point. Now, again, like I said, I mean, to me, like the draft was just like, it was just a draft that nobody really, you know, nobody really cared about because, you know, we kind of had an idea of who was going to go where.
Because they made a mistake there.
Right. So, but like the matches or whatever, like I said, I had no issue with the matches. The tag title match I thought was fantastic. The match with the Kabuki Warriors versus Lacey and Natalya was kind of just, you know.
That was random.
Yeah, it was random, and it was, to be honest with you, I thought it was too long. Now, I'm not going to be negative about it because it was actually a good wrestling match. The Kabuki Warriors, now that they're heels, are a really good tag team.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's positives there.
Yeah, I think what weighed them down was having Paige there as like as their hype man.
Go ahead, Clint. I'm sorry.
Yeah, having Paige there as their hype man was like really kind of killing the vibe. It was like you notice how they wasn't never getting TV time once they dropped Paige from like the Warrior storyline. Here comes the Kabuki Warriors. Not only that, they win the tag team titles. They could not win the tag team titles with Paige trying and pushing for them to get a tag team title shot. Everybody was pushing for them to get a tag team title shot. They drop Paige, they get the tag team titles. So to me, I look at it like that was a weak link out of the three of them.
Right, but the thing is though, Clemeth, is that like with Paige. See, Paige would be a good heel manager, though. So now that they're heels, like, they could probably use a good heel manager. But I think, like, with Paige, Paige is just, like, not necessarily controversial, but she's controversial to a point.
That's an understatement.
To where it's just kind of just, like, you know, I don't think they really want her on TV.
I do. You know how I feel about her.
Well, and again, she's actually, you know, for somebody that's, you know, got pasty white skin, she's actually very attractive.
Yeah, and she's good,
you know,
in the ring.
For a golf chick. Yeah.
She was my favorite wrestler before she retired.
Don't get me wrong. Like, I do feel sorry about how Sasha, like, injured in the ring and their career and all that other stuff. Like, that I do feel bad. It's like a Daniel Bryan type thing. And you never want to see someone actually lose their and race out. And that's nothing against Paige. I mean, Paige is a great wrestler, but I don't think she's a fit for the Kabuki Warriors himself.
Yeah.
Well,
I can see that.
I mean, well, I do kind of agree with that. And I do agree that they are finally, somebody is actually starting to show some faith in these girls to where, you know, they're getting this push.
And I think you can
probably Paul Heyman.
Paul Heyman. That's exactly what I was about to say.
Yep.
I think that's one thing I think Raw has an effect on letting Paul Heyman run that show. Like, you can actually see the difference watching Raw. What influence Paul Heyman actually has on it. His fingerprints are all over it.
Right.
Oh, speaking of that.
Go ahead, Eric. I think I know where you're going.
What do you guys think of EB, a.k.a. Eric Bischoff, getting fired?
I should have been coming. I mean, it's nothing new. From what everybody talks about, how he was never showing up at the meetings or all the other stuff. It was more, and then they said they probably just hired him as a scapegoat. So they, for the first thing that goes wrong on Fox, that's a scapegoat to fire.
I feel bad because he moved all the way cross country just to be got hired. At least that's what he said on his podcast. So who knows?
I kind of feel this way. First of all, when it was announced that him and Heyman were going to be named as the directors of Raw and SmackDown respectively, you had to know that one of them wasn't going to last long. Okay? Now, a lot of people said that Heyman would be the one to get fired first. Heyman's not going to get fired because, well, they're not going to fire Heyman because they need somebody there to be with Brock Lesnar.
Exactly.
Right? And so it doesn't matter how bad Heyman fucks up. And trust me, he will probably fuck up pretty bad. You know, bald-headed people are good at that. Especially the fat bald-headed ones. But
isn't he from New York?
He's, yeah, fat bald-headed people from New York are the worst. But it's...
I'm not going to mention the other thing, but...
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, I'm not going to mention I'm already going to have enough people going after me. Like, the thing with Bischoff, it would almost be like, and I swear to God, it was almost like when back in 94, I think it was, for a little while, Vince McMahon had Jerry Jarrett, the Memphis promoter, as an agent. Has an agent in the company, and it was actually rumored that if Vince would have been sent to jail for the steroid trial, that Jerry Jarrett was actually going to take over and run the company.
Wow.
And
yeah, imagine that.
Oh God, we wouldn't be talking about WWE today if Jerry Jarrett were in charge.
They wouldn't be TNA or Impact Wrestling.
Somebody would have started something. Or WCW probably would have won the war.
Yeah. WB would have been in charge.
Right. So the thing is that, like, with Bischoff being in charge, see, when you're going to war with somebody that, one, is older now than he was when he first competed with you, and two, somebody that you actually put out of business, that it's not necessarily going to work out. Like I said, it would be like if today, and I'm just using these guys as an example, if they would have put Greg Gagne and Bill Watts as the creative directors of Raw and SmackDown. Now, Bill Watts was a tremendous booker back in his day. And he was great at his job, you know, back then. Mid-South was a hell of a territory. I'm not saying that it wasn't, but what I'm saying is that it wouldn't work today. His style of booking just wouldn't work. You know, Greg Gagne's style of booking, you know, even though they were a great territory back in the early 80s, you know, him and his dad, it's just, it wouldn't work today. So I'm sure a lot of the stuff that Bischoff is doing, because I'm sure Bischoff's not up on the current product. It just, it doesn't work today. And I don't know if it's going to get any better with Bruce Pritchard in charge. Because Bruce Pritchard is basically a puppet that Vince McMahon controls.
Well, I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say he's far up his, you know what.
Yeah, well, both can be true.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, I don't know if it's going to get any better with Bruce. I mean, I think people like Bruce better.
Yeah, I enjoy his podcast. He did on a network.
Yeah. Well, he's got a great podcast. I mean, pretty soon, you know, ours is, pretty soon ours is going to be better. If Conrad returns our phone calls. But it's just what?
Oh no, never mind. No, I wasn't gonna say. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, watch what you're saying, Eric.
I know.
But like, again, it was just Bischoff just was not a good fit. So, yeah.
How many times was he hired by Vince and then fired? He ran Raw with Austin, and he can't.
Well,
he got fired.
Then, see, that was just a storyline. He had no control over the storylines and all that. This time he had control.
Supposedly, yeah. He was never on TV either. That's just really weird.
Right, yeah, no. Yeah. Okay, but, yeah.
What do you think EB's next move is? Goes back.
So just continue with his podcast. I mean, I think when you reach a certain age, you really should not be involved in the creative process in wrestling anymore. Like you can give suggestions, and yeah, he's a good example of it. All right. You can give suggestions, but you should not really have like so much power.
I agree with that.
So do you feel that way when it comes to this event?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Let me ask you this. Now, before the big move to Fox of SmackDown, and SmackDown was on Tuesday nights. Have you read reports about how Vince will go and tear up the whole script of SmackDown like 2 or 3 hours beforehand and rewrite the whole show?
Yeah.
Now, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about that? I mean, could you tell that it was or how bad it was when he was tearing up and rewriting it on a fly during SmackDown? Compared to when your script was already written, you could tell the difference. I say, could you tell the difference?
Yeah, you could. I think because at one point SmackDown was more enjoyable than Raw, but over the last few months, to me, SmackDown just really hasn't been that enjoyable. So, yeah, I think you could tell the difference.
Like tonight, do you think tonight was Vince?
Well, here's the thing. I only got to watch the last hour.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I forgot. Yeah.
I had to work. So, what I got to see, I didn't hate. I actually liked. I like Nikki Cross. I like the fact that she's going to be facing. I love the fact that she's going to be facing Bayley.
Yep,
you know, I don't have an issue with Carmella. I would have been happy if Carmella won. I think the only thing wrong with Carmella is she's got a horrible taste in men.
No, Corey Graves.
But exactly.
What's wrong with that? I don't see nothing wrong with that.
I hate Corey Graves. That's why. She could date whoever you know she wants. But you know, when the guy that she's dating is probably also sucking off Baron Corbin, then you know there might be a conflict of interest.
Well, married.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I can't really comment on that because of He didn't do anything or he didn't do anyone while he was married. He started dating Carmella when him and his wife were in a process of a divorce.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. That's the thing.
You know, well, first of all, the wife just brought it up because she's bitter. You know, imagine that, a bitter woman. You don't see that nowadays. You're right. But again, you know, and obviously this is getting way off topic, but I mean, she got bitter because her soon to be ex-husband is happy. You know, and who wouldn't be, you know, happy, you know, putting it to Carmella? I'd be fucking thrilled. Yeah. So, you know, the fact that, I mean, she was just bitter and she was basically trying to destroy his life because he's trying to move on with his life. So, you know, she just needs to get the fuck over it.
Yep.
But like I was saying, like, I don't have I like Nikki Cross. I'm glad she's getting a title shot. You know, Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan are a very odd team, but guess what? They work. You know, it was a fun main event. Braun Strowman beat the shit out of Drew Gulak, which, poor Gulak. Poor bastard.
He's going to be the jobber. His name.
Which is just sad.
Yeah, I know.
But again, like, it was, from what I got to see, I didn't hate it. I actually liked it. You know, and Bayley,
yeah, it was a good show.
Bayley cut a good heel promo.
Oh, I love that. Did I mention how much I love Bayley now? With her new look?
I think everybody do. I think everybody do. My friend texted me. He was like, "Yo, I cannot believe how hot Bayley." But did you also see all like the children?
Crying.
But actually, the Bayley's number one fan from NXT, she finally chimed in on Twitter congratulating her.
Well, yeah, because
she's a badass.
Wasn't she trying to portray like a heel manager or something on the indies?
Who?
That Izzy, the number one fan.
I'm not sure. I know she was just, back in NXT, she was just like, she was always cutting the crowd there.
Right.
Like, I never followed the in-depth story of the why or why. I just know she was a big, close fan of Bayley, and Bayley and her had, like, a close relationship together.
Right.
Go ahead, guys. Sorry.
Yeah, but I said once Bayley got into like the main roster, that the whole Izzy thing really died down. I mean, you never heard much about it until actually last week. I read an article about how she was congratulating. It was about time she finally turned heel.
Right. But and again, like, and that's the thing is that like Bayley finally, this was something that needed to happen. Now, whether or not it's going to work, I don't know. Tonight was a good first step, and she got a hell of a promo. And she's, like, you can actually see, because if you could tell or not, like, she actually dyed her hair a little darker.
Yeah,
it's a darker black now. And I'm not going to say that she's, like, drop-dead gorgeous. But, you know, a lot of people are probably going to, you know, a lot of guys are probably going to have crushes on her now because she no longer looks like a 12-year-old.
She looks like a badass wrestler.
Yeah. Don't get too excited and don't try to go up and hug her if you ever see her because you know what happens when you hug women. The lawsuit come out.
They slap you.
I was
this one actually might.
Doug's just joking.
Yeah, I'm just joking. No restraining orders have been delivered yet.
Against one of us.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on.
Give it time. Okay. Anyway.
You guys want to go on to about the picks of the draft or whatnot?
Yeah. So, let's play a little fantasy booking. Is there anybody that you were surprised that stayed on Raw See, I didn't like the way they did that because most of them were predictable. Like, they had so many people stay on Raw, so many people stay on SmackDown. I think they did it better.
They did it better last Friday because you actually moved some people that actually deserve that actually needed to be moved.
Yeah.
Like when they moved Strowman and they moved Sasha and they moved Orton over the Raw. Like they actually needed to be moved.
Oh, I agree.
But like on Raw, like nobody, like everybody just kind of stayed put. It was so predictable. I mean, the one thing I would have done is I actually would have moved Daniel Bryan over to Raw.
Yeah, he needed to. I can understand why they kept him SmackDown, keep that storyline going. I don't know where it's going. Keep thinking it's going to turn again, but maybe they're going to turn them a tag team. Who knows?
Okay.
Which would be an interesting tag team, actually.
Right. Oh, no, I enjoy seeing them together.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's no more Shield, so.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead, Clintus.
Well, here's the thing that some picks that were made during the draft, is I didn't agree with. One, I will say Kevin Owens going to Raw. Why had this big storyline of Kevin Owens finally getting his reigning winning over Shane McMahon, firing Shane McMahon, and then putting them to Raw? I mean, I was really hoping it'll stay the SmackDown to continue. It's like he finally got rid of the plagues of SmackDown, which is Shane McMahon.
Yeah.
Right.
I wanted to continue the story. I'm like, you finally got this play. What is he going to do next? How is he going to, like, better the show? Because that's what made me turn this man down. This is Kevin Owens. This new Kevin Owens. And then you also have another thing I don't understand was why was Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross drafted separately when they're a tag team? If tag teams were supposed to be one pick.
Well, I think we got our answer tonight.
Well, here's the thing. I think what happened was like with them, and I agree, they're a tag team. They should have stuck around. But also, like, I think what happened was when they finally realized, they're like, oh my God, we need a stronger women's division on SmackDown because we don't have a babyface to feud with. To feud with Sasha and Bayley. All right, we need baby faces. We need baby faces here. Well, guess what? Nikki Cross is actually a very over baby face. Okay, Alexa Bliss not so much, but guess what? Alexa Bliss, like, if you can't understand Nikki Cross, Alexa Bliss could actually do some of the talking for her. Because Alexa Bliss, like, from what I've heard in real life, Alexa Bliss is actually a very sweet young lady.
No, she is.
Okay.
She is.
She's very sweet. You know, she's very likable. So, like, if they need Alexa
likeable
to be,
in a lot of ways.
You know, easy there, Tiger. But, like, if you need her to be, like, somebody that the kids could look up to, you know, she can do that. And, you know, she can – her and Nikki, I think, are the perfect foil for Sasha and Bayley. And,
yeah.
Like, on Raw, I mean, if we get Becky versus Charlotte 1,000 times, first of all, that's a natural rivalry. It's a very natural rivalry.
They're going to new John Cena and Orton.
Yeah, but guess what? They have chemistry with one another, Eric. John Cena and Randy Orton didn't have chemistry. John Cena and Edge did, but John Cena and Randy Orton didn't. Their matches sucked.
Yeah. I don't know why they kept doing it, but That's another story
for another
day. I don't
think they really had a choice.
Yeah. So, but the thing is that, again, like, I think a lot of the picks were just, like you guys said, too predictable. And I think, like, once the draft was over with, they're like, oh, my God, you know, what are we – you know, we need a better women's division. Like, we need a better women's division on SmackDown because we need somebody that's actually going to be believable to, you know, to really be a foil for Sasha and Bayley. Because Lacey Evans isn't going to do it. I mean, Lacey Evans has been a bitch all summer. Do you really think people are going to buy her as a babyface?
No, I can't stand her.
Okay. But they're going to buy Nikki Cross as a babyface. They like, people like Nikki Cross.
I think she's like the new Bayley. I think they're trying to make her the new Bayley, if that makes sense. The hug and...
Nikki Cross would actually want to be somebody that actually, like, I'd actually like to sit down and have a conversation with, because I think she would be fun to talk to.
Yeah. I think a lot of these girls would be, I think Bayley would be a nice person to talk to, too. So she grew up a wrestling fan, didn't she?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, the fact that she grew up as a wrestling fan, like, you know, she would be somebody that, like, you could actually sit down and watch WWE Network with.
Yeah, same thing with Sasha, and I think, and I think Sasha might, I'm not going to say.
I was just going to, never mind, let's move on before I say something inappropriate.
Yeah, because that story before, the fan, that's what I'm getting at, so
yeah.
We'll move on. You know what I'm talking about, Smith, right?
No,
there was an incident with a fan a couple years ago. Doug knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
have it wrong?
Yeah. Yeah, at an airport. It was just a fan wouldn't leave her alone or something, wanted a picture or whatever. Something stupid. But let me ask you guys this, and I want to kind of bring this up real quick. Now, real quick, I know we're kind of getting away from the draft, but I am actually going to hang up in a few minutes so I could get some sleep. Have you guys checked out any of the episodes of NWA Power yet?
No.
Briefly. I saw the end of Homicide and Eddie Kingston. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you. I know what your thoughts on Eddie Kingston is.
Okay. Well, first of all, Plymouth, you know, it's only an hour. So, and, you know, it might even be less than an hour. It's actually very much worth checking out because
okay.
It's very good. I mean, it's a very intimate setting. You know, it would remind you of the old, like, if you've watched any of the episodes of World Championship Wrestling on the network, this is very much like that. They got a very intimate studio setting. You know, they focus a lot. They actually focus a lot on promos and not like the 10, 15, 20-minute promos that we get in the ring with WWE, but like they'll sit at the desk. A guy will cut like a 3-minute interview and then he'll go and he'll have his match.
Yep.
And it's very, and like the wrestling, like there's no theme music. There's no pyro. It's just guys going in, doing their thing, and then that's that. And
yeah.
It's not just guys that we've never heard of before. You know, Magnus is there, or he goes by the name Nick Aldis. You know, he's there. Colt Cabana's there. Mr. Anderson is there. Eli Drake.
James Storm.
The guy that used to be Bram. In TNA, you know, he's there. Homicide's there. Eddie Kingston, Allison Kay, who was Sienna in TNA. Trevor Murdoch's there. So these are all, like, you know, high profile.
Jim Cornette's on commentary.
Jim Cornette's on commentary. You know, and it's such an interesting show to watch. And it's only an hour, you know, and the hour flies by.
Yeah. And right after that, it's AEW Dark.
Right. So that's why, like, I mean, and so that's what makes, like, that's what makes me look forward to Tuesday nights. Is that, you
what
know,
time
lineup
is Impact
of programming.
Be on?
They'll be on at 8. So when Impact starts, you're going to have NWA Power at 6:05. You're going to have AEW Dark on at 7. And you're going to have Impact on at 8. Now, that's going to be a lot of wrestling.
Oh, yeah. Impact is 2? Yeah.
Impact is 2 hours.
Yeah.
So
that's going to be underrated for wrestling.
Well, they're going to be underrated, but again, it's not like the wrestling's going to go from like 8 to 12. It's going to go from like 6 to 10.
Yeah.
So you'll just get to watch it like when you come home from work or whatever. And
or
you know, ROH,
they don't have a TV deal.
Right. But no, NWA Power. Fantastic program. He actually has some decent wrestling on there. I mean, again, like Eric just said, I don't like Eddie Kingston. I think he's overrated. I think he's a bum. I think he's a jackass. But, you know, he's there. And for people that are fans of Eddie Kingston, you know, he's a hell of an interview. He's a dick, but he's a hell of an interview.
I think him and Homicide are going to be a good team.
Well, they've been teaming for years.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It was after Homicide and Hernandez.
Yeah. They were known in Ring of Honor, they were known as Outlaw Inc.
Okay. Are they taking that name, or they... I know they mentioned Outlaw in that promo.
Yeah, wow. They... Well, they called themselves Outlaw Inc. On Tuesday night.
So I guess they can take the name.
Yeah. So, but yeah, no.
Now, speaking
of
names,
a good show. Go ahead.
It's other LAX, two members of LAX. They're not going to take the name LAX, right?
No, they can't. Impact.
Impact
owns that.
Owns it. Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Impact,
oh, yeah.
Trademark.
That makes sense. Yeah.
See, well, here's the thing. They like when Dixie Carter had it. Like when Dixie Carter was in charge, they really didn't trademark stuff. Like EC3 is allowed to be known as EC3 in WWE. But that's because, like, Anthem really didn't care. Because it was just like, you know, they weren't necessarily seen on, you know, too many cable stations or whatever. But now that they moved to Access, now they're starting to care. So that's why they made sure they trademarked LAX.
Well, so, kind of... We didn't talk. Do you watch any NFC? I know Doug said he watched a little bit. I didn't watch it this week. Enough?
Huh?
Did you watch NFC?
No. Do you watch NFC?
Yeah,
no,
did you watch
no.
it this week?
I haven't watched NFC.
Yeah, I haven't watched it this week.
I haven't watched. I mean, I can't really get. I really haven't gotten in NXT since like the third round of a call up. So everybody I watched NXT got moved up to the main roster.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you, Doug?
Yeah, I watched.
I know you said you won.
I mean, the takeover is great. I mean, I'm going to watch takeover any day of the week.
Well, yeah. And that's the thing is that, like, Clint, if you're spot on, is that the takeovers are great, but trying to get into NXT on a weekly basis, even though they do have good matches, but, like, if you look at the last 3 weeks, and again, this will actually be the last point I make before I hang up, because I am going to hang up soon. Like, with NXT, the last 3 weeks, you know, ever since they started going head-to-head with AEW, week one, the main event was Fish and O'Reilly versus the Street Profits for the NXT tag titles. I've got nothing against I love the Street Profits. I think they're a great team. You know, they're the modern-day PG version of Crime Time.
Yeah.
I think they're great. All right. Week two, you had Walter beat Kushida. And I got nothing against Kushida. I think Walter's a big goof. But this past week's main event, I actually was really excited about. It was Damian Priest, the former Punishment Martinez, versus Pete Dunne, with Priest getting the win. And to me, that match was, I mean, it really had no business being in the main event, even though they are trying to showcase different guys in the main event every week. But, I mean, to me, it was actually a really good match. So, like, trying. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, no, go ahead. Sorry, Doug.
I was just going to say, like, to me, it's just like they're trying, but, I mean, AEW, I think, just puts on a better program.
Yeah.
Well, you also notice, like, when it first, like, started before he actually went live, 2 hours, how they, like, the first 2 weeks of NXT, they did, like, half of the network, half on the, on regular television because they wanted to be get the names out there first. How is this felt really rushed?
Right.
Like, you had, like, the big championship match starting to show off, but when you get to the back end, like, it was just really nothing there. And then even now, I think even during, like, the two-hour show, I realized, like, they try to put, like, their big-name players on for, like, the first first hour of NXT, I guess, to beat out, like, the star main event of AEW. Like, to me, I think they want to get their big stars out there first, hoping that people want to stay and watch the rest of the show and not turn to AEW compared to where AEW's big main stars are at towards the end of the night. It's like,
right,
in a way, they're trying to reverse each other when it comes to this Wednesday Night Wars. Like, the it's like, I'm not saying, like, I'm talking about in WWE's circumstance. I look at it as, like, they're trying to put their big name, big title matches on first instead of being, like, the main event on first to get people, I guess, to watch it, knowing that, well, we're not hoping that everybody's going to stay and watch it. I mean, it's a main event for a reason. People want to stay tuned in and watch the main event. I said this last week that the problem with NXT being on television is that it's on the network the next day at 8 o'clock at night. So you're not really missing nothing. I can watch AEW live and then wait the next day to watch it on the network. That's what's hurting the NXT ratings. I think people are realizing that, why are we watching this, trying to, like, flip back and forth when we can just watch it the next day? SmackDown Raw with the WWE is with the television network, so they have to wait like a month behind. Let's put it that way. Like, towards the end of September, now you're starting to get to, like, the beginning of October, comes out the next following month. That's one thing today. That's why we have to watch, like, SmackDown and Raw on television to keep up with the pay-per-views. But with NXT,
right,
you don't really have that problem because it comes on the next day.
Right. And here's the thing. Like, you talk about the main events, like them kind of, probably use a different term, but I'm going to use this one anyway. Like, they're blowing their load, like, right away. By putting the main events on first. If you guys ever watched Saturday Night's main event back in the day, that's what they did. Like, and I mean, they did a lot of that because of the time slot. Like, they had to, because they would come on at 11:30 at night most times, they had to put their main event on first. So that way people would know that they actually got to watch it. So, like, there was one episode. It aired back in 89. It was like the show started with Honky Tonk Man versus Ultimate Warrior. Then they did Savage versus Macho Man Randy Savage versus Akeem. Those were the first two matches. Because those were the matches that really drew people into the show. The first match was a hair match. It was Brutus Beefcake and Ron Bass. Then they did Savage and Akeem. Then they did Warrior and Honky. But because those were the first three matches, those were the matches everybody really cared about. You know, those three matches had to go on first. Nobody gave a shit about the match that aired last, which was Mr. Perfect and Coco Beware. Who the fuck cares? Nobody cares about that one. But you have to start with the match that you know people care about the most. Yes, it's called the main event. I get that. But, I mean, this is something that WWE has been doing for years. They always try to put their big match on first. And it's actually a smart strategy. So then, like, if you know people are getting bored with the product, you could put something on. Like what they did with the draft this week. They knew nobody was going to give a shit about the Kabuki Warriors and Natalya and Lacey, which sucks for them. But they put that on last, because they knew people were going to flip back and forth. Now, it may have hurt the fact that Seth Rollins burnt down that fucking funhouse, but they knew WWE, as much shit as we give them, and trust me, we do give them a lot of shit, they do, to a point, know what they're doing.
Yeah, that's why they've been on for over 30, 40 years?
Yeah. WWE is never going to go away. Okay? You know, people could say, oh, you know, Vince needs to go away. WWE is never going to go away. Vince McMahon one day will die, because that's just what happens. But the WWE is never going to go away. They have survived too much for them to just, you know, ride off into the sunset.
Exactly.
Because they make too much money. They have a network that people like to watch, you know, their older stuff, like their greatest hits. Right?
Absolutely.
That's why they have a network now. Right? Yes, some of the in-ring product today sucks, but guess what? You know, if you don't like that, you could go on their network and watch something from 98 or 99 or fucking 88 or 2001 or whatever the fuck. That's what they have. Doesn't matter if today's product is horrible. They're still making money off the stuff they did 20 years ago.
Yep. This is a little off topic, but SFL is starting soon too, so we'll talk about that some other day.
Do you want to get into the AEW show, the Quick Dynamite Championship?
Yeah.
I keep saying I'm gonna hang up, but I might as well just finish this off with you guys.
Yeah, we'll talk. last 10 minutes about AEW.
Yeah.
Now, do you guys think Cody's going to win? Oh, sorry, Doug.
No. No. Well, that's all right, because I'll just go ahead and answer your question. Well, I don't think he's going to win, nor do I think he should. Because, again, and I've said this, and my brother has actually argued this point with me. If Cody Rhodes wins the AEW World Championship, it's going to be the same thing. They're going to have the same criticism that TNA had the first time they gave the world title to Jeff Jarrett.
I was thinking more like Triple H. That's exactly why. I was thinking of not even Triple H. I was thinking it's like a family member. It's like I don't really agree with Cody Rhodes being number one contender. To me, I look
at
it more
like
he's
got the best records.
He's got the
best. If you're doing record wise, yes. But
okay,
you have to realize that they only had the best record. They only had what, four shows? Three shows before All Out.
Right, but here's the thing is that, like, if they're doing it by records, and he had the best babyface record, okay? Now, yeah. The guy that actually has the best record, obviously, is Jericho. And then behind that, you have Pac, who was 2-0 before he got dropped by Moxley on Wednesday. But Cody has the best record. That's why they're doing this.
And he's a baby face of the company, and it's a fresh show after they went on TV.
Right. So do I necessarily agree with him getting a shot? No. But I do think that right now it's the best option. Do I think he's going to win? No. I think they have to save the big babyface title win for somebody that they're going to build. You know, we knew it wasn't going to be Darby. Darby's not ready for that yet. Darby's only 22 years old. All right.
Well, he's that young.
He's a young kid with a bright future.
Look how young Randy Orton was when he won the world title, and I think what Brock Lesnar says. The second or the youngest, the 25.
Won the WWE. So, but Darby needs at least another year or two. He's going to be a star.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's not going to be a star. I'm just saying
he's
shouldn't happen yet.
Now, who do you think should? A little round.
That's kind of hard. I mean, if you go by record, then it's kind of hard to say, but they announced it not even before the first show of Dynamite actually came as he was going to be the number one contender for that match. So it's kind of hard to really give a fact. I would have waited to actually the Philadelphia show or even the Boston. Like, let give it a week or two and then announce your number one contender. Have it going on like that.
I think they went into some main event.
I think the thing is that they knew that they were going to have. Well, first of all, the fact that we're going to get Moxley and Omega at the pay-per-view, you know, obviously that's by accident because they couldn't get the match at All Out. So they're going to do it here. To be honest with you, they could sell the pay-per-view just on that match alone.
Oh, my God. I broke my heart knowing that when he had to pull out
that.
The level.
So, so that match, you could sell the pay-per-view just on that match alone. But, yeah, Cody getting the title shot of – yeah, he's not going to win. And as far as, the other matches that could possibly happen at the pay-per-view, I mean, I'm enjoying the television program because
I am, too.
There's a lot on here. There's a lot on there where, stuff is actually building. And the match where it was Pac and Moxley versus Page and Omega. That match was fucking fantastic because, and just like the fact that Moxley just dropped Pac at the end. I mean, those are four guys. Those could be definitely the top four guys at the company at some point.
Yeah. Along with Cody. So, yeah, those five. So, who do you guys think is going to win the title from Jericho? And how long do you think Jericho's going to keep it? I think he's going to hold it until at least mid next year. Maybe Double or Nothing, too. That's the thing.
I think what they plan on doing with AEW, I think they don't plan on doing like a WWE pay-per-view format. They're more like an NXT pay-per-view format because I don't think Cody was interested in trying to have people pay $40 a month for how much people were paying to watch Double or Nothing or All Out, or that he wants to do it like every 3 months, like
quarterly.
And here's the thing, and let me just kind of go back, use like the old school like philosophy of like the summertime, and this is actually like kind of a rule of thumb. The summertime really was not a good like time for wrestling, like back in the territory days. And what I mean by that is like wrestlers didn't make a lot of money during the summertime. Like the Carolinas did because they did their bash tour. But everybody else is just like nobody was going to stay home and like order a pay-per-view or something like that, you know, during the summertime when you could be out till like 8 or 9 o'clock at night, you know, at the beach or whatever. So there's good times to have pay-per-views and there's not good times to have pay-per-views.
WCW
benefited
most from it.
Well, WCW, they were just trying to capitalize on the fact that, you know, they wanted to have a pay-per-view every month, but they don't give time to build the shit. Let me kind of take back, and I know I got to kind of hurry this up because we only have a few minutes left. Take it back to WrestleMania 7. Which was in March of 91. You know when they started building some of those matches? They had three or four of their big marquee matches starting to build in October the year before. October to March, you know, October to March is 5 months. So you had that, they had a 5 month build for a lot of their matches, or for a few of their matches anyway. Because it's called a slow build, and they couldn't blow it off at other pay-per-views because the only other pay-per-views they had by then were Survivor Series and Royal Rumble, and you usually don't blow feuds off at those pay-per-views. You keep them going.
Yep.
So AEW, I think what AEW should do is kind of do like gimmick pay-per-views. And when I say gimmick pay-per-views, I mean something like a Survivor Series or something like a Royal Rumble. To where like you can't necessarily blow off your feud right away.
I think that's what All In and All Out are going to be, and Double or Nothing are going to be. I think those are going to be their three main pay per views.
Well, it would make sense. All right, what do you say we wrap this up since we've only got about 30 seconds?
Okay. Go listen to Dirt Sheet Dudes out there. Oh. Listen to us tomorrow night at 9 p.m.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, Eric.
Oh, cool. What were we going to say about Clint?
No,
I was just
going to
ask him, right? All right, cool. All right, go ahead, Eric.
Listen to us tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern as we talk about the Hart Foundation. Daniel will be back with us. Right, Doug?
Yeah.
And Clint will be on, and Doug will be on, and we'll talk about the Hart Foundation and the history of those, especially Brett and Jim the Knight, Bill and Bill.
Yep.
We'll get more into Owen and the rest of the Hart Foundation, and then listen to the Dirty Dudes after us. They're probably still in the air because they.
Yeah, which
they
we're about to be off the air because we're running out of time here.
Yeah, they do the same thing. They'll go off topic, so that's why they do long shows. Anyway, listen to them on Apple, Spotify, Google, iHeart, all the good stuff. Listen to us on all those platforms too. And visit our new group, Philly Sports Passion Podcast. And follow us on Twitter at PhillySPPod. And thank you guys, Doug and Cliff. Another great show.
Thank you.
And we'll see you. We'll see you guys tomorrow night.
All right, tomorrow.
Hey, beautiful.
Adios.
See ya.
Adios. Bye.
Bye.